welcome to Community Connections again. We've had our legal hour. We've had a few questions, and certainly there's always free legal advice every second Wednesday between noon and one. So if you'd like it, send us any questions on info@yarravalleyfm.org.au, or give Greg a ring on 59615991, and we'll get them answered for you next month. However, we're changing pace a bit. Now, we're going to talk about food. Now, I would be the worst person in the world. I mean, what I cook is very, very basic, but so I wouldn't be doing a cooking show in a fit. However, we're not going to be talking about food as such. Well, we are. But we're going to be talking about food and its effect on our moods, which is something I'd never thought about. So it's my pleasure to have with me from Eastern Health, Lisa Ritchie. How are you, Lisa?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Tickled pink to have you, but I've never ever thought of this. So what you're saying, that food can affect, we get so hung up with, you've got to have this food for your cholesterol, and you can't have this and you can't have that. It sounds to me like everything good you're not allowed to have.
Absolutely. But anyway. Now, my aim would be to try to gently challenge that perspective as we chat, Alan.
Go for it.
But I am delighted to be here today. So I'm here chatting about the connection between food and mood. And Alan, you're absolutely right in that we're told, oh, don't eat this for cholesterol, and there's certain guidelines for diabetes and XYZ, right? And now the groundbreaking research in a field that not many people have heard of, because it's really new. It's called nutritional psychiatry. Nutritional psychiatry.
Yeah.
So it's about how what we eat impacts our mental health.
So it's not just, you're not talking about body health today so
not
much.
It's mental health. I suppose what I probably want to leave you with is the way in which the mind and the body are just so, so linked. So we're going to be looking a bit at the connection between mood and food, which is nutrition and brain health, and also that gut-brain connection. So I don't know if you've heard of something called the microbiota in the gut.
No.
So we're going to be diving a little bit into that. I'm going to be chatting a bit about nutrition for mental health, and of course always the role of things like self-compassion and mindfulness when we are looking at making any kind of changes to our health, because it is complicated.
Can food have any effect on dementia, or is that just...
Oh, gosh, you've thrown me out a curveball. So while I don't want to go and say all sorts of details that I can't back up in this moment, Alan, I will say what we're learning is that it affects all kinds of things.
Yep.
And if someone was to dive into that and look at some of the research, I'm very confident that there will be discovering new things each month about how food and brain health is linked. So going to be diving into a little bit about that, but I should say...
So let's dive.
Yes. My role at Hillsville Hospital and Yarra Valley Community Health is I'm a psychologist. And so this information was put together by myself and also by my colleague who's a dietitian. And so we kind of got what we like to do at Yarra Valley Community Health Service is we like to kind of combine our areas of knowledge and really look holistically at well-being. So if there is anything that I say today that is of interest and someone's thinking, gee, I want to link in with a counsellor, or I want to link in with a dietitian there, or another allied health service that we also provide, you're so very welcome to give our service a call. And the service number is 1300 130 381. So 1300 130 381.
Now, we've thrown that to the people a bit quick where they haven't got a chance to put a pen and pencil. So at about 5 to 2, we'll give them all the contact details.
I'm so delighted to hear that.
Yep.
Now, what I want to talk about today is some groundbreaking research in this field of nutritional psychiatry, and it is changing the way that we think about the mind and body. So it used to be that we treated the mind and body very separately, but now the fields of medicine, dietetics, psychology, we're beginning to recognise the importance of a holistic approach that addresses the way that the mind and body are linked. So much impacts the food choices we make, right, Alan?
Yep.
There is familiarity, there is cost, there's availability, which is so relevant at the moment. I heard lettuce was $10 the other day. So lot to it.
Even hamburgers are going to lose the lettuce.
Yeah, they're turning to cabbage. Absolutely. And we also know that on the whole, we don't consume enough of some of the whole foods, like the fruit, the vegetables, the grains, the nuts, the legumes. It's not new. We probably learned a bit about this in the food pyramid at school. And there's so many factors that influence our mental health. So biological factors, life experiences, stress, relationships.
Lockdowns,
access to community community supports, right? Mental health is layered and it's complex. But what we also know is that the more and more research that we do, things that we can control, like sleep, exercise, nutrition, also play quite an important role. And it's nutrition that we want to talk about a bit more. Now, this research that I keep referring to, it was conducted by Deakin University. And I want to say about 2021, by a psychologist called Felice Jacka. And it was one of the first trials of its kind, Alan. It was called the SMILES trial, which is
SMILES trial,
a little bit cute. Yeah. And that's a mouthful. It's supporting the modification of lifestyle in lowered emotional states. So the SMILES trial is all you need to know.
Yeah.
And so this was the first study where we actually looked at the direct relationship between a whole food diet and mood. So previously, all the other studies that have been done were like correlational, where we go, oh, there seems to be a relationship, but we're not quite sure, right?
But have we ever really, prior to that, ever discussed it on the mood? It seems to me we've always discussed that this is what you should have for your body.
Mm.
But I've never ever heard where we've ever discussed it on the brain.
Yeah, look, in sort of psychological and nutritional circles, there were beliefs about what type of food is kind of good for your mood in a holistic way. But this is the first research that actually really solidly provides us with like an A-plus standard of research to back it up. And so since this has come out, like it's really just exploded across the field, right? So basically what this research did was it divided participants into two categories. Category one, so all the participants had a diagnosis of depression. Category one.
Oh, both sides, yeah.
That's it, absolutely.
Yep.
And that's how they work out the impact of mood, right? So the impact of the food on the mood. Mm. Group number one, they received a social support intervention, which we know has a positive impact on mental health.
Yeah.
And then group number two had a series of appointments with a dietitian to explore adding more whole foods to their diets. So whole grains, fruits, vegetables, fish, very based on like a version of the Mediterranean diet. And the results were actually really interesting and possibly surpassed expectations. What they found at the end of the study, and the study went for about 3 months, so reasonable chunk of time, a third of the participants in the second condition, the food diet condition, right, a third of them no longer met the criteria for depression anymore.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, it's not bad. Mm. It is not bad. So a third of them were said to be in remission from their depression.
Just got to take a quick break.
Go for it.
We do have to play some sponsors' announcements and that, and we'll be back with more.
Well, there's a little boy waiting at the counter of the corner shop. He's been Well,
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. The voice of the valley. I sound a bit croaky today. Don't know why. Anyway, we've got Lisa with me from Eastern Health, and we're talking about food and their effect on moods. All right, so I know in a minute you're going to talk to us about some of the things we should be eating to help us with our moods, but I'm going to say to you now, as a devil advocate, mm-hmm. I love hamburgers. So, A, why can't I have them? And B, should I just have them once every now and again?
I'm really glad you've raised this and it really makes me smile, and I want to be very real and say I had a chicken burger from the bakery before I came in here, right? Because we are real people, Alan, and we eat all the foods. And so my message today is not overhaul your diet dietary restriction, not at all. My message is more like slow change, slow improvement.
So there's nothing wrong with having the odd burger.
What I will say is it's so deeply individual. There's no way I could have answers that would fit for everyone. It's not a one-size-fits-all. What I would say is that if there's something in my message that resonates for someone today, think about whether you want to add one piece of fruit in extra.
All right,
think about whether you want an additional colour on your dinner plate tonight. You know, like, we're not talking drastic, mostly because human beings don't sustain drastic changes,
no,
right?
No, they don't, do they?
And so we want this to be real. Yeah. This is not research that's designed to have you go, oh, my God. It's research that makes you go, oh, okay, I could do this extra thing. It could be, I could change to brown rice. But that being said, with that example, that'll be suitable for some people, not suitable for others. And so it really comes down to your own individual needs.
So when I go home tonight, I'm not sure what I'm going to have, but so that don't matter. But what should I be having if I wanted to?
All right. So I know I'm being a stickler. Yeah. I would change the word should and I would make it could. What could you be having, Alan? There's no should here. You can have whatever calls to you.
But that's not going to help the situation. So
you're keeping me on track, which I like.
That's right. So to have the effect that
you're... what we're looking at. If you want to get to the nitty-gritty, what foods are connected to improve mood, as per this research, we are looking at things that are in line with something called the Mediterranean diet, right? Fruit, vegetables, foods that are high in fibre. So these are things like legumes and lentils, which are really cost-effective superfoods if you want to go for the, the labels. Whole grain cereals, nuts and seeds, foods that are high in omega-3, like fish, avocados, which may or may not be high in omega-3 now that I say that out loud, but still very consistent with this Mediterranean-style diet. So as people hear this, they might go, I'm doing some of this. And if you are, fantastic. And if there's bits where you go, I might add that in, I would say start at the place that feels easiest for you, right? But those are the types of foods.
So we're not talking about people that necessarily have depression, are we? I mean, we're talking about the correlation between food and the effect
on
your moods.
That's it. But so while the research was done with a population who had diagnoses of depression, it seems like this is useful for just about all of us, absolutely. And you're giving me this beautiful entry point into something called the gut-brain axis. So we used to think that, everything to do with mental health is just about the brain. Yep. And the more we learn about the links between the brain and the rest of the body, particularly the gut, is we go, it's much more complicated than we first thought, so much so that we're actually starting to learn that the gut is like a second brain.
Yes, sir.
In that it's so very linked to all sorts of things to do with mood, well-being, emotional health, that kind of thing. And the other thing, Alan, is that there's actually this thing called a gut-brain axis. And what that means is that the gut and the brain communicate back and forth. So sometimes the gut reactions, the gut sensory responses can cause a reaction in the brain. And that can be things like having an impact as to whether you're experiencing more stress or anxiety.
Yep.
Which we know is also impacted by external factors, but it's yet another piece of the puzzle. And that's what's quite fascinating about it.
Yeah.
But back onto more specifics, because I suspect you're a man who likes specifics about, you know, what are the nuts and bolts of this.
Yep.
There is something called the microbiome, and that is like referring...
Microbiome.
So the gut microbiome refers to like all of the bacteria that are living in our gut, many of which are good bacteria, right?
Yeah.
And so what we are aiming for is diversity within the microbiome, and that is fed by diversity within the diet. And so that is things
so
like...
So it's more important to have diversity in your diet than, say, pick out two or three of the foods you're going to talk about and having them regularly.
Yeah.
It's be better to have them...
Which is why you won't hear me say tomatoes are the answer, right?
Right.
You'll hear me say vegetables. Go for vegetables, right?
Yep.
There's no one superfood fruit. It's like you kind of want to see how many, without, you know, without stressing yourself out, how much... variation can I pack in this, you know?
So that would be more beneficial to your body and your mood to have a range of foods rather than hone in on two or three.
Absolutely. Mind you, I will also say start where you are. So if you are introducing yourself to legumes and the legume that feels the most comfortable to you is the chickpea, have some chickpeas and by all means pat yourself on the back for that, right?
But have other food as well.
Well, when you are a person who is regularly consuming chickpeas, you might go, let's try a black bean. Let's try... Do you know? And so you, I've heard them say that you want to see how many different sources of plant food that you might be able to kind of draw on.
So you're not arguing to change your diet dramatically on day one tonight.
Absolutely not.
Go home and have these four things.
Yep.
You're saying gradually.
Slow and steady. That is my, that is definitely at the core of my message.
Yeah.
Slow and steady and kind of to draw on a little bit of self-compassion, loving yourself where you are. Food is complicated. Food is not just about what's nutritious, as we know, Alan. It's about about all sorts of different things, like connection, community.
But also the thing that's most nutritious isn't always the one that, that tastes the best either.
And it's such a process of slowly introducing new stuff. I read somewhere that it's like you have to introduce a child to a new taste like six times before... And I'm not convinced that adults are different.
Aren't you?
You know, this is just my musing. I can't back this up with research, Alan. But I just think, you know, we've got to go slow with ourselves. We get into all sorts of habits and patterns around how we care for ourselves, and cooking and food is no different, right?
Yeah. All right, so food really has a bigger effect on the body other than just cholesterol and stuff like that, really, doesn't it?
Totally, totally. And we find this connection between mood and food holds true for human beings across the lifespan. Mm. So childhood, adolescence, especially adolescence with that developing brain, parenthood, when so much is required of you in that phase of your life, and even then midlife and beyond, the aging brain, risk.
You pointed me when you said that.
No, no. Do you know, I was thinking what you asked me about dementia.
Fair enough too. I was only being silly.
I know, it makes me laugh though.
It made me laugh too. All right, so really... We should take it slowly. I've just lost my plot here.
That's all right.
We should take the change slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And then would you suggest that you implement one particular thing and then stick with that and add something different to it? Or do you sort of go through various things? You might have this vegetable this time, but now swap over to that one and that one.
So... I'm going to be annoying and I'm going to say it is highly individual. So what works, so we're sort of in the science of habit change or health behaviour change now, which is a topic that it fascinates me. So I'm glad we're talking about it. What will be one person's best way of doing it will be different from the next. But I do like the sound of, like, you might just increase one piece of fruit or veg a day. And if you are having that extra serving, then fantastic. Wait until that feels normal. And then when you're ready, have a think about whether there's a next thing you want to tackle.
But would you then drop that first piece of fruit and then put another in its place? Or are you suggesting that you keep that piece of fruit and then add something else to it?
Honestly, I would say go with what you enjoy, because ultimately any changes have to be enjoyable. So I could go, oh, there's some strict protocol and you just keep adding, but it will be in flux. I mean, we all know some weeks we've got lots and lots of scope and attention to pay towards the food choices we make, and then other weeks things get busy and, you know, we're sort of just surviving weeks like that, and that's okay. And so this is always going to be something that just moves back and forth.
All right, I've got to take a quick break, but I guess one of the problems seems to be in society that as we get busy, and we won't talk about this now, you can come back to it, it's so easy to go and buy something, and whether it be one of the takeaway foods. I mean, a lot of people you hear say, oh, well, I haven't got time to cook tonight, I'll just do this. And then that's okay, I guess, if it's once a month, but then they do it once a week or a couple of times a week because it's easy. So I'll get your thoughts on that in half a tick. We'll just take this quick break.
Wake me up.
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 21 minutes to 2 and 10 degrees. Oh, I don't know, even if we're going to struggle up to 11, the top today was 11, down to 6 tonight, up to 12 tomorrow, and then we hit the high for the week, 13 with showers on Friday. Oh, I can't believe it. But anyway, I've got Lisa with me from Eastern Health, and we're talking about food and the effect on moods. Lisa.
We are talking about food and mood. And Alan, you had a question for me prior to the break. Yeah. And I think it was, how do you go about making changes to your diet or changes for your health?
Yeah.
And I would say, while it is great to have information about changes you can make to your diet in order to boost mental health, actually going about making the changes to any long-standing pattern in your life is kind of a big deal.
We're
creatures of habit.
Well, and the older you get, the more the habits have come along too.
I think there's a truth to that, and I'm also thinking about how hard it would be to pitch this information to a teenager and say, swap to your whole grains,
oh,
you know?
Do it.
There's
never
a developmental challenge at every point, one way or another.
Yep.
What I would say, though, is sometimes it can be helpful to reflect on why you want to make the change,
yep,
right? And the more meaningful the why is, the more chance you have of seeing it through, even when it's a bit tough, right? Yep. And we can list all the dot points on why we should eat more veg or less chips. But if there's a particular bit of the information that calls to you, it's worth knowing what that is. So is it about mood? Is it about energy? Is it about modelling healthy eating for loved ones? It could be so many different things. That's the place to start.
I would have thought there's two reasons for food. Well, I would have never thought of mood, to be very honest with you. And I was surprised when I heard what we're going to talk about today. Mm. So, and the other thing I would have thought would have been energy. Am I right on those two? Or is that?
I think you're onto something there, that, you know, what we eat affects how much energy we have or how vibrant we feel, you know, one way or another. I am going to come back to this thing about self-compassion, because I just think it goes hand in hand with health behaviour change. But I do think it's kind of looking at your unique circumstances and knowing that all the data we have on behaviour change tells us that small changes add up.
And it's easier to do too, isn't it?
Well, and that's why it works, because we've got to actually make it easy. And when you think about the demands on our brain in any given day, the things we're juggling in our diary, the phone calls we've got to return, you know, the different demands on our, our energies, small is best.
And
right?
I suppose it also, when you're under stress or under pressure, it's so easy to revert to tried patterns, isn't it, rather than,
yes,
than to change something.
Yes, and when that happens, and I don't say if, I say when that happens, be kind to yourself, because it's normal. When we are changing a pattern, the brain is toggling between the old way of doing it and the new way of doing it, right? And we take time zigzagging back and forth between the old way and the new way, and that's just normal. But I do love some of what is called the four laws of habit change. And I'd love to share this with you, Alan, because it's just nice, nifty ideas about how you would make a change for a health behaviour. So law number one of habit change is make it obvious. So the food that you want to be eating more of, put it in your eye line. So that could be, many households are already doing this with that classic bowl of fruit that sits on the bench. They're already doing that, law number one. Meanwhile, if there's something that you think you want to eat less of, you may want to make it invisible. Put it out of your eye line.
So you've got to go looking for it.
Yeah. You're making the thing that you want to be doing more of, you're making it easier and closer for you to do it. And then the thing you want to be doing less of, just that little bit more distance, right?
Yep.
Next law of habit change is make it attractive, okay? And so I take that to mean make it attractive to you. So if that is that the fruit you hate the most, is a pawpaw. Mm-hmm. Don't start with pawpaw.
Oh, I see. Pick something that you
start with a banana. Or if
love
you love
bananas.
This is not at all seasonal, but if cherry is your fruit and they're in season, start there. Yep. You know, so don't make it harder than it needs to be. The next part, number three, is make it easy. So not something where it's like you have six different steps to get it all prepared for yourself, because at each step your brain's got another chance to go, nah, not today, too hard, right? Yep. So this is the case for pre-prepared food. It might, honestly, Alan, be the case for convenience foods.
That can be very easy.
Yeah, and some convenience foods might actually fit the bill depending on what they are. You know, there's no one particular food that we want to demonise, right?
Lisa, can I ask you?
Yeah.
And I hate this COVID word because I'm sick to death. We've done it for about 2 years. But during COVID, when people were locked down, did you find that people would just take the easy way out? So has that changed our appetites at all?
To speak broadly, and I'll get your thoughts on this, Alan, I think a lot of the sort of coping through the pandemic was about survival.
Yep.
And I would probably recognise and congratulate any strategy that helped someone make their way through a really challenging period.
Yep.
And for some people, they might have gone, oh, I'm going to add a piece of fruit to my daily intake. And other people would be going, do you know what? I ate three meals today. Or I got a snack when I needed it, or I hydrated enough, and that gets a tick from me, you know?
I would have thought, and this is what I'm asking your opinion of, that perhaps people during COVID snacked on snacks, but lollies and stuff like that.
Yep, it's a really common coping mechanism for hardship, stress, sadness, loneliness, right? Yep. And it's something that I think so many of us do.
Lisa, I've got to take one more quick break.
Yeah.
And we'll be back with more.
Let me be.
That, of course, was Olivia Newton and put your teeth in. Olivia Newton-John and Let Me Be There. Now I'm talking to Lisa from Eason Health, and we've been talking about food, always a great subject, but we've been talking about the effect on our moods. We were going through the laws. We've still got another law to go yet, Lisa.
That's it, we do. And, you know, I might quickly take us through all the laws just as a recap. Yep. So these are the four laws of habit change. Make it obvious, make it attractive, make it easy, and then the fourth one is make it satisfying. Choose food you like. Start there.
I suppose it's good, isn't it? I mean, it's no good. You're never going to stick to it if you pick a food that you're not going to like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It can't be plate after plate after plate of just greens. No one can make that work, Alan.
No. And you're going to give it away very quickly.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. And on that note, I really would encourage self-compassion and that we be kind to ourselves as we make any kind of changes to our lifestyle. It's a type of change that really can be hard. And research does show that the more understanding and forgiving we are of ourselves, the more motivated we are to do what we need to do to take care of ourselves. So it's quite a strange paradox.
Yep.
Sometimes people feel that self-criticism propels them forward. But the research shows that that's actually not the case. It's that self-compassion, that kindness, that understanding that we extend towards ourselves that is actually what helps us to make changes.
So, Lisa, you were honest with us and told us that you had a chicken burger for lunch.
That's right.
So what? I'm not going to ask you what you're going to have tonight, but the sort of meal that when you go home tonight, what sort of meal would you be expecting to prepare for yourself?
Oh, let me say, Alan, it would be so varied, so varied. And I would hate to present myself as perfect because sometimes on the internet you see this stuff about like my day on a plate or eat like me, you know, it could be anything from a falafel wrap through to your classic takeaway, right?
But you're not going to have takeaway tonight. So what would be on your... I'm not asking you what you're going to have. But what
if, you want me to give like a sample plate?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, okay. Let me riff on this, Alan. I reckon I'd have... let's see. I'm going to design the most delicious falafel bowl.
Yep.
That I can think of in this moment. Okay, so I'm going to have a couple of falafel balls. I'm going to have a little bit of kimchi with it. That just randomly popped in my head, but why not?
Yep.
There might be a bit of veg, whatever is seasonal, cost-effective, and there might be some rice, you know?
Right.
But sometimes I might just be looking through the fridge going, what's there? What looks good?
Yep.
Let's make it work.
Yep. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, look, we'll take one quick last break and we'll be back with more.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mumble number 5. Store around the corner. The boys say they want some gin and juice, but I really don't wanna be a buzz like I had last week. I must stay deep, cause talk is cheap. I like Angela, Pamela, Sandra, and Rita. And as I continue, you know they're getting sweeter. So what can I do? I really bag you, my lord. To me, flirting is just like a sport. Anything fine, it's all good. Let me jump in, please sing in the trumpet. A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need. A little bit of Tina's what I see. A little bit of Sandra in the sun. A little bit of Mary all night long. A little bit of Jessica, here I am. A little bit of you makes me your man. Jump up and down and move it all around. Shake your hand to the sound, put your hands on the ground. Take one step left and one step right. One to the front and one to the side. Clap your hands once and clap your hands twice. And if it looks like this, then you're doing it. A little bit of Monica in my life. A little sun. A little bit of Mary all night long. A little bit of Jessica, here I am. A little bit of you makes me your man. A little bit of Monica in my life, a little bit of Erica by my side, a little bit of Rita's all I need, a little bit of Tina's what I see, a little bit of Sandra in the sun, a little bit of Mary all night long, a little bit of Jessica, here I am, a little bit of you makes me your man.
And that was, of course, Lou Bega and Mumbo Number 5. Lisa.
Yes.
You've got us excited.
Yes.
And we want to find out more. How are we
going
to...
Okay, so if you're listening to any of this information going, gee, I wouldn't mind chatting to a counsellor from Hillsville Hospital and Yarra Valley Health, or I wouldn't mind referring in for assistance from a dietitian or a diabetes educator or even a podiatrist or a physio. These are all the different allied health professionals we have on board.
So how are we going to find out about it?
So... the number to call for us, and this is your invitation to grab a pen.
Yep.
The number for us is 1300 130 381.
So it's 1300.
Yep.
130 381.
Absolutely.
Yep.
There's a series of prompts, and I believe we're option 4. But you can also look us up on Facebook. So yep. Hillsville Hospital and Yarra Valley Health has a Facebook page,
which is just what.
I would say go to the search bar in your Facebook and type in Hillsville Hospital and Yarra Valley Health. You'll see us there. And we do share information about our services and various different health topics. So that's another resource as well.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yep. So, Lisa, what are you going to leave us with as a final cap?
Okay, what I will leave you with is this idea of being very curious about how you go with any changes that you make, noticing what works for you, noticing what doesn't, and applying this mindfulness, which is just the act of paying attention in the present moment without judgment, you know?
Yep.
And that's probably its own separate solo topic that we could really dive into.
Yep.
But it's just yet another way of approaching changes to your lifestyle.
So, with any of this changing that we've been talking about, I know it's been talked about with moods and that, would any of that change things like blood pressure and that, or is that just too... can food have any impact on blood pressure or well, obviously it would on your general health, wouldn't it?
So, I could probably answer that in a broad general health way and say, like, of course... improvements to your diet have flow-on effects to your general health.
Yep.
As for specific stuff, I probably have to say, being counselling background, psychology trained, that's probably slightly outside my scope, but we should have a think about which one of my colleagues we bring back to talk more about that.
Sounds good. Lisa, unfortunately, it's time to go. The hour's gone very quickly. I suggest that you give the 1300 130 381 1300 130 381 a call. Talk to Lisa and find out about Lisa and her crew up there. Always great to have you in, Lisa, and thank you for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.